Welcome to the Living Life on Purpose podcast with your host, Michael Mukunda Chandra Cohan, the founder of YourWellnessYogi.com and the Living Life on Purpose community. The Living Life on Purpose podcast is a show dedicated to inspiring people to achieve their goals and live their dreams to the highest potential. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose. Inside all of us is a powerful spark of the divine, and yet as life's challenges grind and wear us down, many of us forget that inner spark. However, that spark never leaves us, and if we stray too far from it, we will be unhappy in our life. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that inner spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle of Life quiz, a free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you a favor, to write us an honest review of our podcast. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/podcast and click on subscribe to open up in iTunes and write us a review. You can also write us a review on your device as you listen to the show by opening up the podcast app. Thank you and enjoy this week's episode, and I appreciate you listening. Welcome to this week's full episode with our special guest, Danielle Goodenough. Danielle Goodenough has worked as a professional musician, graphic artist, and research scientist. His recent book is The Caravan of Remembering, a roadmap for experiencing the waking of your life mission. In the past 30 years, he has taught thousands of students through the Way of the Heart program to discover their authentic life path and to walk that path in this world. On this episode, we discuss how to find your life mission, how to follow your passion and express your unique gifts in a way that it also benefits the world, how pursuing your life mission can bring focus and success to your work life, and a new way of conducting business with integrity and purpose that can bring success in today's changing work environment. This is a great episode for anyone who wants to live consciously and spiritually, along with having work-life integration. Thank you, and I appreciate you listening to this episode, and I hope you enjoy this show. So my question I want to ask you then is, your whole book is about understanding a person's life mission. Why do we then struggle with understanding our life mission? Where do we lose track of who we are meant to be in life?
Well, there's an interesting study that said most people do know that their life mission around the period from, let's say, 7 to 9 years old, and that has to do with the formation of brain states. And I guess if you were looking from a spiritual stance, you could say that you've been here long enough to kind of know how it is here, and not so long that you forgot where you came from. There might be any way of looking at that, but the study would show that at any point in life when somebody finally could do whatever they wanted, got an inheritance, won the lotto, retired, whatever, what they would want to do at that time is what they already knew they wanted to do at seven. So why don't we know this? We have a culture that hasn't emphasized it. We have a culture that was built around the industrial model of things, mm-hmm. even though we've long since moved past even the industrial or the information age to the context age, which would mean that this is really the time to get in connection with your why, what, and who, because context means what's the meaning? Why should I care about this? And that's the age we've moved into from the information age, even though predominantly culturally, we still have this industrial age relationship with this thing we call work. And I would say that a life mission isn't necessarily a job. You have a family life mission and a social life mission and a spiritual life mission. And sure, there's a career life mission. So why do we lose track of it? First of all, our culture doesn't encourage it. It's in many ways, it's the thing is, when are you going to get a real job? When we live in an age where really you could do almost anything if you were willing to do the work and be creative. I make the guarantee, I have made the guarantee with the people I worked with, that if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to show up with it and hang in there, you know, do the piece by piece by piece of creating it, I've yet to find anyone's life mission that was that we were unable to create a way to make a living doing it. Mm-hmm. But the culture says that wouldn't encourage that as a let's say a way of looking at it, you know, like when are you going to get a real job, or that doesn't sound very practical, or here's the way that people make money in our culture, so you should probably do this, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I suppose the finances of our age sometimes would discourage people from taking the risk. You know, I think actually your life mission would be the one job guarantee, if there is such a thing.
So every person's born with a life mission. Along some point in our life, we begin to get distracted from who we are supposed to be in life. And we end up taking a job because we just don't have a choice. And it's not really in line with our personal values. And then we find out one day when we're no longer in survival mode, because typically, you know, teenage to early 20s, we're in that survival mode. We're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do with our life, job, food, finding our life partner. And we get to a certain point where we're kind of established, and we wake up one day and we go, whoa, how did I get here? I'm so far from who I was. And although I have my own house, I have my own car, I'm not happy. Then what do we do to start to move away from that I'm not happy to find that purpose in life that brings us happiness?
Well, that would be where I talk about the scales. Mm-hmm. If you found yourself going, I'm not entirely thrilled or motivated or inspired by my life, so I think I want to be a musician. If you said that to yourself, there would be scales to do every day so that you became accomplished on an instrument so you could make a living as a musician.
Right.
Yeah. So let's say that the instrument is you, and you want to be masterful at playing the instrument called you in this thing we call life. Mm-hmm. So then what would be the scales? So examples. So if you started with that part of your life as early childhood, when they say we already knew, and into, let's say, secondary school in that period, and you said, okay, as a child, what were my favorite toys? Over that period that we call the growing up period, what were my favorite movies? What were my favorite stories? What were my favorite places to go? If I was passionate about a sport, what were my favorite activities? Who were my heroes? Those would all be scales. And from the standpoint of saying, well, if you said that was your favorite, or they touched you in a way that other things didn't, why was that? What was it about that person as a hero? What was it about that place or those movies or stories? What was it about that that speaks to you, maybe not entirely uniquely, but in a way that says something about who you are, that would be pointing toward how you were designed and what your calling is? Mm-hmm. You know, other examples that could be more contemporary would be, what would you do just for the love of the game? When you go into a big box bookstore that has every category of book, what's the first place you go to in that bookstore as a category? Pretty much every time. And then what's the second place and what's the third place? You could say, what's the question at the center of your life? If you could just change one thing in the world, what would it be? Where do you find your deepest engagement? What wakes you up instead of making you afraid? When am I most confident? I could go on, but if you were in these inquiries, and if you just every day ask the question, why am I here? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say that the brain is a question answering machine. And if you ask it a question, it has to find an answer. So you'll get an answer, and it might be different. over time, and at a certain point, if you just keep asking it, it'll change, let's say, your radar, mm-hmm. you know, how you're looking in the world. When your awareness is connected to the idea that you actually really do want to know, and you keep asking that question, something will switch in, let's say, your search image for the world, and you will start to notice that you notice things you wouldn't have noticed before that will help you get in touch with your why, what, and who. If you just keep, I mean, those three questions alone, if you ask them every day, why am I here? What am I called to do now? And who am I called to be so I can step into that? It, along with, you know, I think I've collected maybe 5,000-ish things that I would call the inquiry, that would be the scales of how I identify this. Mm-hmm. And just one last thing, because I've probably been talking for too long, but I, true story, I worked with a lady who had been a dean of a nursing school. And now when we were talking, she'd retired and she was now 90 years old. And she's like, okay, life mission, is there still one? And what do I do? You know, too late? And the answer was no. And after a lot of work, what she got in touch with was the part of her that always wanted to be an author. And she started writing. Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing I'd say about your life mission is it's not a job per se. And it's also, if you wonder, are you doing your life mission? If you're in the inquiry, you're doing it. It's not like there's some endpoint that, okay, I have a life mission to build a thing. And unless I build the thing, I'm not doing my life mission. You know, one of the analogies is if you felt like your life mission was to build a bridge across the Grand Canyon, this is my what? And you died when the bridge was halfway across the canyon. Would that mean you failed in your life mission? No, because it's not the result. It's the process. Your life mission is a process. And if, as long as you're in the process, then you're doing it. And that starts with just being in the inquiry. If you're in the inquiry about my why, what, and who, then you're doing your life mission. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that will result in something tangible and practical. And I'm a very practical guy, you know, so this is all meant to result in that you actually are stepping into, or at least in the process of stepping into.
I think, Daniel, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the show, to kind of counteract the message that I hear a lot of quit your job, jump all in, and do what you want in life, and everything will work out, versus take your time, think about what you want to do, ask the questions, and then work towards that instead of just kind of like jumping ship. Because I find a lot of people in my industry and in the industry at a large, in the entrepreneurial space, they're unhappy with their job in life. So they go on Facebook or they go on YouTube, they see some success guru say, quit your job and become an entrepreneur and you'll find happiness. And that's just not true. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, well, I've never recommended the jumping off the cliff thing without some preparation. Yeah, I never say, well, like, okay, you know, if it was a weekend class, the last thing I would recommend is give you a notice on a Monday.
Fair enough. So where do you get started after you ask the question? And I know we have a couple of topics that we're going to get to, but I just wanted to kind of finish up this one topic. Once you begin to ask the questions of who am I, what is my purpose, and who is it for, what is the next thing you do? What's the next practical step?
Well, if you say, what does that call me to do? And let's say you're not in the place, you don't have enough of a foundation or a platform, mm-hmm. to give your notice on Monday, then what there is to do then is to build your foundation. Mm-hmm. So that could be a set of skill, you know. So there is the skill of being clear about my why, what, and who. That's the life mission part of the skill. The way you're going to express it, or the vehicle you're going to use, requires a certain set of skills probably. And you'd have to evaluate, well, where am I on that spectrum of skillfulness around the vehicle I plan to use to express my why. So there would be the, let's say, the series of steps that would involve you building skill in that category. There might be a series of steps to create the kind of connections with the people that you would need to meet and build connections with, which would have something to do with the who. When you ask that question, who would I need to be to step into that? one of the reasons for asking who would I need to be to step into it might be there might be some, let's say, emotional work to do. There might be some mental work to do. There might be some honest evaluation of, let's say, I'm trying to think of a chronically shy person, let's say. What is it going to take for you to build your comfort zone's ability to step through your shyness and do it anyway? You know, and that might be maybe if there's a speaking course you need to take, it might be that. So there's always these very grounded, very practical, tangible things one can do. And, you know, I've had my share of day jobs like anyone else in life. You know, there was a time when I was a professional musician and traveling, and then there would be those times when I'd be between bands. And there are bills to pay. So what I found about day jobs, including, you know, way back in high school and moving through the summer jobs in college, and, you know, whatever that summer job is or whatever the day job is that you're doing while you're building these skills, and building your foundation, preparing the who part of you to step out and have the confidence you need and feel comfortable making the person-to-person connections, whatever all that is, I've always found that the angst of my day job was greatly mitigated by knowing I was in that process, which made me far less impatient about jumping ship. As long as I knew I was in the process and I'm building my skills in these ways, I could go to my day job and go, yep, it's the day job and it's paying my bills, and I'm actually in action about my vision.
Yeah, that's one of the things I kind of teach my clients when I'm working with them is a lot of times I hear complaints like, I don't like my job. I want to do this for a living. I want to jump ship and I want to start this business, or I want to go back to school and change careers. And I'm always like, keep your day job so you have an income so you can pivot over towards your next phase of life. At the same time, if you find that you don't like this pivot, you can all, you're still where you're at securely in your current position also. Is that something that you teach also?
It is. And I would add to that, that if you jump ship before you're ready, that's adding, at the very least, it's adding an unnecessary, let's say, anxiety.
Where were you for me 5 years ago?
Well, and you know, one of the things that brain science would tell you, that as soon as you go into fear and doubt and its cousins, you lose 13 IQ points.
Yes.
So how resourceful are you going to be then from that place of fear and anxiety about taking the next steps for your life mission? It just on the whole means you're going to be a lot more present, resourceful, motivated, inspired, if you can say, well, I've got my basics covered. And if that's a day job that I need to do, then fine. I don't feel trapped because I know I'm working on next.
So for, I can bring this to my me. So I'm hoping that if I relate this, the audience will understand. When I was 35 years old, I left a $200,000+ a year job because I felt like it was no longer in line with who I was. I was yoga. I was a corporate guy, and I was teaching yoga at night and practicing yoga in the morning, and I just didn't fit into that environment. And what I didn't do was I didn't build my teaching business as a yoga teacher up. I was teaching two classes, and so I left my corporate job to be a full-time yoga teacher in an oversaturated market, and it failed miserably and fell on my face. And I found myself at 36 years old, living at home, cleaning yoga mats, trying to build a career as a yoga teacher. That led me to become a life coach because I was in this really dark place and I started listening to podcasts and reading books on personal growth. And that's what inspired me to become a life coach. But if I had my corporate job and I was becoming a yoga teacher, I would have still become a life coach because that's what I've always wanted to do. But I would have had the resources to get where I'm at now faster. And so I wish I came across you
5 years ago, instead of hearing those people say, go all in. So I do appreciate your mission, and I'm grateful for it. No pun intended.
Yeah, that's a great example or let's say one of the other options would be to ask yourself, what would it take to cover my bills? If you say, well, what's it going to take to build my practice? Mm-hmm. How long is it going to take me to build that practice? And you have, let's say, what sometimes I might refer to as a freedom fund, that you have your reserve ready. If you decide that I'm going to make the jump, yeah, it would be great to build your practice before making the jump, or at the very least be clear, what are the resources you're going to need to have in reserve to cover that gap between, you know, just cold turkey quitting and having your practice pay your bills? So that, you know, one of the other options is then to say, well, if I'm going to just jump ship, do I have the reserve to cover the gap? Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take a quick break and remind you that it is never too late to make a choice and decide to make lasting changes in your life and create the life you want and learn to live life on purpose. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle Life Quiz, our free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for a real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life.
So then let's pivot to another question I want to ask you is, and this is one of the topics I think you specialize in, how is pursuing your life mission, how can it bring focus and success into your actual current work life?
Yeah, well, you could say, for starters, again, because you're clear about your why, what, and who, because you're in the inquiry, I guess one of those questions you could ask yourself is there space within my company, or would there be a way I could make that shift within the context of what I'm currently doing if you're an entrepreneur that would bring this more in line with, or make it more of a vehicle of the expression of why I'm here? I'm working with some companies right now that have, I think that there is a movement in the world of work and corporations that do recognize that people that are connected to their why and have found a way within their companies to express their why as a vehicle for why they're here and what that calls them to do they actually perform better. They have fewer sick days. I mean, in all the ways one could measure the bottom line for the company, employees that are connected to their what I would call life mission are going to be better employees for both themselves, the company, and the connection to the community. Mm-hmm. So if your company can be aware of that, or if they aren't currently, you might make them aware of that, and you see that there might be a way to express your life mission as a vehicle within your current job, that would be something to make a pitch for. You know, if you're clear about that and you find a tangible way to be helpful to your company, maybe that you shift your title, job title, or you shift your position within the company. If you're an entrepreneur, it might mean that you don't necessarily stop doing what you're doing, but it might mean that your company makes a pivot if you're an entrepreneur. So if it's about, can I do it within my current circumstance, that would be something to get creative about if you thought that could happen. And you were willing to take the initiative in that way, you could make that happen. Either way, it has been pretty well demonstrated at this point that employees, that when a company makes the effort to at least be open to their employees' connection to a why and helping them out in that, it's always good for the bottom line of the company.
Now, what happens if your life mission is separate from the company's life mission or the place that you're working, but you enjoy your job? Are you, quote unquote, a sellout, or is it something else?
Well, I get you, for starters, you'd have to, that would be a person to person, that would be between them and their conscience or them in spirit. I mean, nobody could tell another person that, it's my humble opinion that it's nobody's right to or a good idea to tell someone else they're a sellout, because how would you know? Hmm. You know, so that would be your conscience. If you say that my personal life mission is in conflict with the company's mission, and sometimes companies can have a mission that sounds good, but they're not acting on it. You know, if that, let's say, hurts your conscience, then you might want to do something about that. On the other hand, if you say the company's fine, you know, you could say in the sense they do no harm, and what they're up to isn't necessarily what you feel your life mission is, but you don't dislike that. It could be that because your life mission isn't a job, maybe you do it as a vocation. You go to your work and you do your work because you don't really mind it. But the main thrust of your contribution in the sense of the service, why am I here? How do I make the world a better place as a result of my why, what, and who? Maybe that's a vocation. And that's an honorable way to go too. So just because you don't feel your job is your life mission, if you don't hate it, there's no reason to say you have to stop doing that.
Do you have to love your work, or can you look at your work as a way to pay for your life mission of being a good husband, a good wife, or a good member of the community? Do we always have to have this need to have to be like the most successful person in life, or is there some other model that we can follow?
Yeah, well, for starters, success. There's kind of like, I think it was Tony Robbins used to talk about the rules. And so we have do be and don't be rules and always never rules and if then rules. So let's say the if your if then rules would say, if this happens, then I'm successful. And that is something that works for you. Doesn't make you feel bad, or doesn't make you feel like a failure or a loser or whatever, then that's great. So that's for starters. It's like, whose rules are you following? And if I'm fill in the blank, then I'm successful. You know, I would look at that, because that's, again, that would be a personal thing for you to decide. And then also in terms of the family, if I'm supporting my family, you might say that that's how that would be in the direction of fulfilling your family life mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we have a family life mission, we have a community life mission, we have a spiritual life mission. You know, it's just like if we say spirituality has to do with the questions of ultimate concern, you know, in any of our lives, those questions of ultimate concern would be, how am I meant to show up to my family, my community, my relationship with the one who sent me, my career, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So no, you don't have to be the world's most financially reimbursed person to be a success, or taking care of your family necessarily. On the other hand, you could absolutely have a job that pays the bills and you're feeling good at supporting the family. You know, you have health insurance, which can be a critical thing for people these days.
Yeah.
And then still might be called to be in service in some way, in addition to taking care of your family, that has to do with why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in what way, besides, you know, being a good citizen and taking care of, and a good parent, let's say, and a good relationship partner, in what way are you here to make the world a better place? And again, that's between you and the one that sent you. That's for no one else to decide.
I agree completely. And so I think that's a really powerful thing, that you don't always have to be the most successful person to fulfill your life mission, that financial success doesn't mean life success, that as long as you're living to your true purpose, then you are in harmony with your life mission, is what you're trying to say. Am I correct there?
Yes. And at the same time, I wouldn't want to infer that there's anything wrong with being well reimbursed by life. And one of my relationships with this thing we call money, life force, is whatever that compensation is it enough for me to be able to say, when spirit wants me to do something, when life wants me to do something, there's a future that wants to happen, that's part of my life mission. Do I have the resources to be able to act on that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not a particular amount. What that means, if life says do this, if spirit says do this, if this is what I'm called to do, you know, vocation, calling, if this is what I'm called to do, if I don't have to check my checkbook to see, I don't know, life, spirit, let me get back to you on that. I have to check my checkbook first. If I don't have to do that, if I can just say, great, let's do this, then regardless of how much that is, if I can answer that, if I don't have to check my checkbook, then it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I say about, you know, how much money is enough. How much money is the amount required for me to be able to answer my calling?
What do I need to cover myself? Like, what do I need to put food on my table, roof over my head, take care of the people in my life that I'm responsible for, along with myself, and have a certain amount of mental well-being?
Well, and it's also the up-leveling, let's say. If I get that the future that's calling is going to require, you know, back to the who. If who I'm going to be, need to be, to answer my calling requires I need to do this class, do these seminars, get this training, then that also includes having enough money to do the training required to answer my calling. Mm-hmm. Or it might be to build, let's say, seed money. If I'm an entrepreneur, do I have enough money to get my business up and going if that's what I'm called to do? So enough is yes, pay your bills, take care of your family, put food on the table, pay your health insurance. It's also then the ever-going evolution of moving with the next training I'm going to need to do or the next investment I'm going to need to do, that there's always enough to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Is the thing to shoot for. If I get the inspiration, I'm doing the life mission inquiry, and I'm clear that the next steps that I'm being called to do in my vocation, in my career, is going to require me to make these kinds of investments, if I need to travel to a certain place to do research, whatever that is, you know, now we're into the how part. Enough is what's required to be able to do that, to answer my calling. You know, so that of course would be a little bit more than just paying your bills, that you have the ability to at least have enough reserve that you can answer your calling.
I think this is such practical information to find your life purpose instead of just jumping all in, quitting your job, and this kind of trying to become an entrepreneur if entrepreneurship isn't really what you're meant to do. And I think this is great advice you can give to anybody that seems to be stuck in life. And I think your book is a good start on how to kind of unlock your true purpose in life. We're kind of getting to the end of the show. Where can everybody find you, Daniel?
So the book, The Caravan of Remembering, is available on, you know, through Amazon and all the virtual book formats, the ebook formats like Kobo. So Kobo, iTunes, Kindle, it's available on all the e-versions, and it's available on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can also order it from the Caravan of Remembering .com book site. There's a YouTube channel, there's a Facebook caravan group, and there's this thing called caravanconversations.community. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of caravanconversations.community is there are people who are physically meeting to work together, to work the process together, that in the back of the book, there are these, you know, the scales I talk about, the questions and exercises, and it refers to where in the story they are. So you have that example of someone doing it. And through the Way of the Heart, there are people, and that's the company I do my seminars through, the Way of the Heart. So you can also order the book from thewayoftheheart.com. But there are people doing physical, in-person groups to work this process. And if you happen to be in a place where one of those in-person groups are meeting, you can go to the Caravan Conversations that community site and join other people from other places in the world who are getting together, let's say in a virtual community to work the process together. So you could be in Asia and Europe, or you could be in Asia and work with a group of people from Africa or the Middle East or Europe or South America. You know, so that's the caravanconversations.community, that anywhere in the world you are, you can get together with other people and work the process. And I wrote the book, so all by yourself, you could work the process.
Well, I appreciate that, Daniel. And any last minute advice that you can give the audience before they kind of jump to their next show that they're listening to?
Just to come back to the idea that being clear about and being able to articulate to anyone, anywhere, under any circumstance, this is my life mission. This is my life purpose. This is why I'm here. This is what I've come to do. This is who I need to be to do that. Just to reiterate that that's not just for the lucky few or some, you know, divine fiat that you and 7 billion other people may not know it, is that anyone can get in touch with, to remember, to make part of themselves again, remember why they're here and what their life mission is. Anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it, Daniel.
It's never too early and it's never too late.
Guys, remember that. Never too early, never too late. Anybody can find their life mission. Daniel, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And I'm grateful to have you on this show. You just gave us so much wisdom, and I feel inspired. And I hope everybody else does too.
Thank you for listening to the Living Life on Purpose podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes and write us a review. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Links to our sponsors and other tools can be found in our show notes, along with other useful information. For more information on our yoga and coaching classes, please visit our website at yourwellnessyogi.com and please sign up for our newsletter. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose.